Tervetuloa Olympiakästin seuraan. Tämä on Suomen Olympiakomitean tuottama podcast-sarja, joka on käynnistynyt syksyllä 2018. Sisältöjemme kivijalkoina toimivat suomalaisen huippu-urheiluilmiöiden tarinoiden ja ihmisten esiin tuominen sekä suomalaisen liikunnan ja urheilun toinen iso valinta ja peruskivi eli seuratoiminta. Kesälläkin puskemme jaksoja ulos Tokion olympiakisoihin asti. Meidät löydät yleisimmiltä podcastin tarjoajilta ja tänään isäntänä toimii Ilkka Palomäki. Tämän viikon jaksossa tehdään Olympiakästissä historiaa, sillä ensimmäisen kerran jakson kieli on englanti. Se johtuu siitä, että yksi Suomen olympiajoukkueen keihään kärjistä Tokiossa on rullalautailija Lisi Armanto, jonka äidinkieli on englanti. 28-vuotias Armanto on yksi rullalautailun naispioneereista ja menestyneimmistä urheilijoista. Hänen merittilistaltaan löytyy paitsi isojen kilpailujen kuten X Gamesin voittoja, myös mullistavia temppuja kuten 360 loopin tekeminen ensimmäisenä naisena maailmassa. Rullalautailu nähdään Tokiossa olympiaohjelmassa ensimmäistä kertaa ja lajin harrastajienkaan parissa näin vahvaa kilpailuelementin korostamista ei ole otettu mukisematta vastaan. Lisi on kuitenkin loistava esimerkki siitä, että urheilullisuus on tässäkin lajissa merkittävä tekijä. Perinteiselle urheilun seuraajalle rullalautailu edustaa vähän tuntemattomampaa maailmaa. Tässä haastattelussa Lisi avaakin harjaantumattomalle katsojalle, mitä ja miksi tätä lajia kannattaa Tokion olympiakisoissa seurata.
So, to begin with, let it be noted that this is the first Olympiacast episode ever to be recorded in English, so you have the honor to make a little piece of history today. The warmest of welcomes, Lisi Armanto.
Thank you. That's exciting. I didn't know we were breaking ground.
Yeah, you're definitely breaking ground. So this is a small step for a man, but one giant step for our podcast. So hopefully we can make a good one.
Yeah, I'm confident we got it.
First of all, you had an injury late 2020. What kind of process has it been to get back to condition and how's the leg right now?
So I ended up skating something that's kind of like outside of my what I actually skate. Like obviously there's like different, it's basically a different discipline of skating and pretty much like the worst case scenario happened. Like the thing that people are like, oh, this isn't going to happen, happened. And it was pretty brutal. I like just released the footage myself last night, actually, because I like haven't watched it until yesterday. And it's been such a process, like recovering, like not just physically, but even like mentally from it, because just trauma and I don't know, you kind of get like a little bit of PTSD. But I don't know, it's not my first injury, obviously. And, you know, growing up skating, I've definitely had injuries where like I was out for skating for months, like also 6 months. And I don't know, it's such like a mental battle to get your confidence back. And for me, I feel like that's like, if you can like mentally be okay, like your body will follow. And so like when I fell, I like basically did this jump and then there's like this giant gap, like a 20-foot gap. And then I like I hit a wall. So I just like went to a dead stop. It's basically like a car crash. And then I fell like another like 15 feet to the ground on my back. And I ended up at the time, I didn't know this. Like at the time I was like pretty calm when it happened and I didn't get knocked out or anything, but I was like, okay, well, I was in shock, but I wasn't in a terrible amount of pain. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I just like sprained myself. But then we went to the hospital and then it was like, okay, I broke a couple transverse processes, which are like these little wings on your spine. And then I broke my femur, which is like the biggest bone in your body. And I was definitely surprised when I heard that. And I don't know. It was scary because it was also during COVID. And so when I went to the hospital, I was like by myself. And the only way I could really communicate with the world or like my like family was and friends was through my phone, which was like dying because that day my husband and I posted we got married. And so like all our friends were like hitting us up and like saying congrats. And I was just this like kind of like the heaviest day ever where you're like, I don't know, you share this amazing thing and then something terrible happens. And so I don't know, you're like literally like away from your like loved one. And like, I don't know, I couldn't imagine what it was like for my husband because he's just like help, like probably feels like helpless and like out of control. Anyway, like the beginning was really scary. And then once I had surgery, I was like, okay, I can deal with this. Like all I have to do is like, you know, just start taking steps forward to like recover and, you know, do PT as soon as I can and just make sure I really like listen to my body, which is a huge thing. And, you know, not that there's ever a good time for like a huge injury to happen, but it was during the pandemic and, you know, there's no events, people aren't hanging out. And so it was like really convenient in the sense that I could just be home and like not worry about not being somewhere that I had to be or, you know, getting ready for a contest. And I mean, frankly, like even when it happened, it's like contests weren't the first thing on my mind. It was like, I hope I can like walk again or like skate again. And you just never know with, you know, injuries like that. And I was so fortunate because, you know, it was a really big like fall. And it was like a double fall. It was like two falls in one. And for the injuries that I sustained, like, it's really incredible because, you know, like, people have gotten so much more worked on, like, far less. I just am really, really fortunate. And also having everyone around me to, like, help me through recovery has been, like, all the support was, like, so essential. And cutting out everything and just, like, you know, focus, like bringing it really back down to like the basics. And I know people were like, oh my God, you must've been so bored, which there was like no time to be bored. Cause everything was like exhausting. Like, I don't know, when you go through something like that, there's all the trauma, but then there's also like, you go to surgery and then you're like, your just body's like putting all its energy into like trying to repair itself. And so you can't think normal because you don't have the energy to, and I don't know. I was just like really focused. Like the first thing when it happened, it was like, how do I get better?
Yeah.
And part of that was knowing like I was out of control. Like the situation was out of my hands and just like trusting everyone around me. 2 months later, I was like walking. I was like starting to walk on my own again. And so that was like a huge thing to do because it's just like, you know how to do it in your head, but then when your body's not working, it's like, so scary. Like even throughout all those processes, like allowing people to help you is sometimes hard, especially when you're like a high performer, like you have really high standards and like you expect yourself to like always be at this place. And so to not like to give yourself the space and like to kind of reel it all back was like a really challenging thing to do. I don't know. I would say that like now I'm like, once I could do normal stuff, like I feel like a huge weight was like lifted off me. Like I can like walk around and do basic things. Like even just going to like make myself a snack was like a big deal. Cause before I just had to like wait and like ask and try not to feel like I'm being like too much. Luckily like PT was going really well. I was like super like regimented and just making sure I was like listening to my body. And I feel like I started skating in like March, like pushing around, but that's not skating at the level that I skate at. And I would say I started like really skating how I skate in the past month. And I don't know, like recovery, it's not like a straight line. Like you don't just like recover. It's like you do really good. And then you like, I don't know, your body responds to things and it's just like listening really. I don't know, like right now I'm starting to feel more like myself. Like, and it's just like getting the strength back in my body and like feeling confident in like being able to do what I want to do. And like, I've been going to the gym 3 times a week and it's like, even for me to watch my slam yesterday, I think that was like a part of my recovery. Just like, I don't know, just a part of the processing.
Yeah, I can imagine. You took part in Dew Tour in Iowa late May, which was the first international competition after the long COVID break. How ready were you to compete with the best in business after such a long break? And also, what kind of information did you get of your performance level heading towards Tokyo Olympics?
So I would say I went into Dew Tour like very strategically. Like I just really went to like hold my points. My goal wasn't to perform or like to skate how I like really skate. And I feel like I did what I like wanted to accomplish there, which was like, all I had to do was take a couple runs and not make it like, hey, I'm back. Like, obviously I am back and I'm skating, which is one thing, but I just wanted to like, one, be there. And also it was like a good refresh to get back into an event, because it's for the past year we haven't like seen that many people or seen any of those familiar faces or like seen that many people together, which is kind of alarming after like, you know, just being told to, you know, quarantine and not be around people. And, you know, like the world's essentially just opening back up again, and like you have to be ready for that. It's just stressful when you're like changing your environment like that after having not done it so long. And I don't know, like I felt really good skating. Like I skated practice really good. And in the contest, I like made a run. And so I was happy with that. I wasn't skating, like I said, at the level that like I have been, but I'm confident like over the next like month and a half that like I'm really gonna like start pushing it. And in the end, I'm still really just trying to like listen to my body. Like, I'm really excited about the Olympics and it's huge, but I just want to also like not forget, like, you know, like with an injury like what I went through, it's like if you don't really do the recovery all the way, like this injury will follow you for the rest of your life. And I don't, like, I just want to, like, be able to, like, skate and push myself. Like, there's so much more I, like, want to do. And, you know, if my body's not ready, like, I'm going to listen to that, because, I don't know, with the Olympics, like, you're literally, like, Finland is, like, the nation, like, is all rooting for you. And that's huge. And, like, just my friends and family, too. And, like, I don't want to, like, disappoint them. But at the end of the day, like, I have to live with myself and I have to make sure that, like, you know, I'm not just, like, there's so much more to life, too.
Yeah, of course. As you pointed out, skateboarding is an Olympic sport for the first time in Tokyo. What kind of an opportunity is this for the sport, in your opinion?
I think it's huge. Like, skateboarding has never been on a platform like this. And I'm so excited, just because so many people are going to see skateboarding for the first time and hopefully be inspired to try it. And you know, like, I know for myself, like, it's given me so much, but, you know, for, like, anyone out there watching, like, the cool thing about skateboarding is, like, you don't need much. Like, you just need to find a, you know, a board and some flat ground, and you can, like, start learning how to skateboard. And, like, the feeling of, like, learning a new trick is, like, unparalleled. Like, I don't know, skateboarding's scary because, obviously, like, I think you're gonna fall, like, a lot of people are afraid to fall and get hurt, but if you learn how to fall, it changes the whole thing, because now you can, like, I don't know, start learning tricks, and, you know, once you learn one thing, like, that can lead to another thing, and, like, you start seeing your whole world differently. Like, all of a sudden, you can go so much further now that you have a skateboard instead of, like, walking, and you're going to start looking at, like, the ground, and you'll start like reading your sidewalk, and all of a sudden you're going to like see things that you never saw before. And like doing things like that, like it really changes not just how, like, all these things that are in your environment, like they look different. And like all of a sudden there's this like community out there too. That's like, you know, if you skate, you can always go to the skate park and like meet other skaters. And skateboarding is so cool because you don't have to be a certain type of person. Like there's all kinds of people that skate. Like you could be young, old, like rich, poor. You could like come from wherever and learn how to skate.
In Finland, there's been debate even among the skateboarders themselves whether skateboarding is a sport to begin with or more like a lifestyle or something you just do on your free time. What does skateboarding represent to you? I mean, is it more like a sport that's also a lifestyle for you or more like vice versa?
I mean, I would say skateboarding is like my lifestyle. Like, I think depending on like how you skate and how you like use it in your life, that would define like if you think it's a sport or not. I don't know. Like, you know how everyone has their own meaning for words, even though there is a dictionary meaning, but like there is some finagling you can do. And I feel like, you know, there are people that are training for like training to skate, and the way they do it, it's like, yeah, that's like what you do for sports. But then there's also things in skateboarding, like by skateboarding, you're allowed, or like it's like a form of creative expression. And like the way you do it is different than anyone else. It's almost like singing. Like no one has your voice, only you. And although you can maybe sing the same words as someone, depending on how you say them, like it means something else. And, you know, when you hear someone singing and it's like so soulful, like it impacts others in a way and it touches people and it changes maybe your perspective, or like you can feel what they're feeling, which is so cool. Cause it's like, I don't know, in skateboarding, yes, there's like a way to do tricks, but at the same time, like there's no way to do tricks. You can do them your own way and you can like put together lines and use things differently than others. There's no like set, you have to skate this like this. Like, and that's what's fun about it. And it's like when you're the person like seeing it completely different, like that person's the person that's like blowing people's minds.
Now, I don't know how you would pronunciate his name, but the high performance coordinator in Finnish Olympic Committee in skateboarding is Kimmo Yliaskari. I hope you understood who I was talking about. But Kimmo told me that when it comes to you, your training process is nothing short of any other Olympic athletes. How would you comment on that?
I mean, I can't speak for other sports. Obviously he can, but I would say that like my process is like, it's not that I have like a set schedule for the week. And a lot of it is like, I don't know, I guess maybe my workouts are a set schedule, but as far as when it comes to skating, it's like, you know, some days I'll like skate like 3 or 4 days in a row. And, you know, some sessions are 1 hour and some sessions are 5 hours. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the hour session of just like getting to it sometimes can be equal to like you skating for like a long time. And I know skateboarding is really cool because essentially, you know, like park skateboarding, there's so many different obstacles. Like it's not this set thing, and you can go and skate a bunch of different parks and like find different like little pieces that are kind of like, you know, the park in Tokyo. But by skating all these different things, it makes you a better skateboarder, and it like makes you that much more of like, I guess, a competitor. And like for me, I feel like a lot of my skating is like depending on how I'm feeling. And so there's some days where it's like, okay, like I pushed myself really hard yesterday. Like, I think it's better if I let my body rest. I'm pretty sore. And like sometimes it's like, okay, like I've just been on one and I'm going to keep pushing it. And like I said, I still do like supplemental training and I'm still getting my strength back. And having like this, the trainer I'm going to, like, he's really good about like listening to what I'm feeling. And so some days it's like I was skating a lot, and so like my legs are super sore, so we're not gonna like kill my legs. And so it's just that kind of thing.
If we take this a little bit back, when and how did you took on skateboarding?
So I started skateboarding when I was 14, and it was my younger brother, and he's 6 years younger than me. He wanted to try it, and we'd owned skateboards, but we'd never like properly learned how to use them. And my mom ended up signing us up for the local park down the street, and it became the place that we'd go to all the time. Because after school, we were like allowed to go to the library or the skate park. And obviously, like the skate park is just like you're outside, you're with a bunch of people, And I think a huge thing was that I could be there and my brother could be at the skate park, but I didn't have to like micromanage him and make sure he wasn't like doing something he shouldn't do. It's just like, yeah, you go, you do whatever you want. And I could do the same, which, you know, at 14 years old, you don't want to be watching your younger brother.
Yeah.
You just want to like do your own thing.
Yeah. So what was it that made you fall in love with skateboarding and take it as a lifestyle?
So I would say like at that age, like I was into arts and crafts. And so I really didn't have like, you know, like a social group that I was into. And I guess going to the skate park and being around a bunch of people that, you know, wanted to be there and they were just there to skate. It was like really cool. And I remember at some point I saw this person skating one of the bowls there and they were just flowing around and they just made it look so easy. And I was like, yeah, like it is that easy. Like you just, at some point, if you just keep doing this thing, it's just that simple. Even though at the time I was like, could not push around. Like I was like terrible at skating. I like had made that like, something clicked in my head and I was just like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah. When and how did you realize you were good at this?
At some point I started getting boards from a local company, which was super helpful because, you know, just not having to pay for equipment is like huge. And they had asked me if I wanted to compete in like this local contest and it ended up being like the biggest contest of the year. And just meeting so many other skateboarders and people just pushing themselves and being in that environment, I was so inspired and just, I don't know, it was kind of a wacky cast of characters too. Like I was like, these people are bizarre, but like, I love it. Like I felt like I fit in. And I think at that point it was like, once I went to a contest, it was like, okay, I want to keep going to contest. And that's where I really decided I wanted to like keep progressing.
Yeah.
And the next year I started like, or no, 2 years later. No. Yeah. The next year I ended up like winning my first contest. And so that was huge. And I don't know. I was definitely just like going for it. Like I would push myself and try things that were way out of my ability. And even my friends were just like, what are you doing? Cause you know how usually you learn things like 1, 2, 3, like I would just like try whatever. And sometimes it would end bad. Like I was sketchy and like, pretty much always kind of like a little beat up. And at some point things started to click and I don't know, I had to go back to school because it was during summer when I was like really just like going every day. And when I went back to school, my body finally kind of healed from all the like just like little scrapes and bruises I had, and I started skating even stronger.
So how old were you at that point?
I would say I was like maybe like 16 or 17.
So as you said before, skateboarding is, before anything else, it's a lifestyle. How did you embrace the competitive side of the sport and how important has that part been for you?
Like I said, I was really inspired at contests because I was just around a bunch of people that were pushing themselves. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, I have to be better than the next person. It was more like, well, they're learning a trick, new trick, and like that looks fun to do, and I want to try that. And I don't know. I started looking at contests like, you know, the finals is usually like a 15-minute heat, and so it's just during that day you do your best during that 15 minutes, and whatever it is, like that's it. And you know, even if you get judged, like in the end, I have my own set of goals that I want to meet, and a lot of them is like, okay, I'm here, and if I can do these tricks, like, I'll have done my job. And, like, I don't know, there's definitely times where, like, I've even did well at events, and then I felt personally like I didn't do what I wanted to do, and it was frustrating. I think just having that mindset, like, made it so much different, and I don't know, at that time, it was a pretty small scene, too, so there was only so many people, and like on the women's side, and a lot of them, like you're rooting for your friends to do the best run that they can do because they have a different skill set than you.
So there are a lot of really good, really young athletes in your sport. For example, in the recent Dew Tour, there was Britain's Sky Brown second and Japan's Kokona Hiraki fifth, and they're both 12 years old, which is pretty uncommon in an Olympic sport. What does that tell you about the sport?
I mean, skateboarding, it's no secret that, like, kids do, like, it's such a different thing. I would say, like, skateboarding is a counterculture sport, and it's, there's something to it that is just, like, fun and attractive. And, like, there's no rules, like I said, and so it's, like, for young kids, like, that's huge. And so I totally get why young kids would want to be into it, and it's cool because you can see, like, how they approach things, and I don't know, it's just so different because, like, you know, all these young kids, like, come into it, and it's, like, they just see, you know, what certain people are doing, and they start there pretty much. Like, as the level of skateboarding progresses, you know, if you, like, go into it thinking that, like, this high level is normal, it's, like, you put yourself there, and so it's so cool that they have that to, like, look at, because, like, even when I was skating, there was only maybe a handful of girls that were, like, really skating at a high level. Otherwise, it was just, like, men, and I know, like, being a young girl, you're, I don't know, it's, sometimes it's hard to relate to that.
Yeah. Like in any sport, the younger always develop new things, and therefore the sport constantly evolves. What does it take for you to meet these standards when there's always new kids coming in and evolving the sport?
I mean, like you're saying, like, there's always, like, new things being pushed, but I feel like, I don't know, like, in my, like, there's so many things you can do on a skateboard. Like, I think some people get fixated on, like, certain tricks and, like, doing that, but I don't know, like, even the way I skate, like, I grew up skating with, like, a lot of older skaters, and so I was really inspired by, like, the tricks that they were doing, and those are, like, 80s tricks, and, you know, kids today, they, I think there's, like, hints of, you know, that type of skating, but I feel like I'm, like, really inspired by that kind of thing, and there's all these different styles. It's almost, like, even in music, you know, music is always changing styles, but, you know, if you're really good at a certain genre and you love that, like, it's really hard to hate on, like, that. Like, it may or may not be your taste, but if it's really good, it's really good.
Yeah. Of course, you are a major name in your sport and people listen to you. If there's some young Finnish skateboarders listening, would you have some kind of advice on how to become as good as an athlete as possible?
I would say if you wanted to try skateboarding, like, you should try it, and just remember, like, you know, everyone has to start somewhere, and you know, it takes a lot of time and patience to figure something out. And having a friend with you makes those kinds of things a lot easier. And, like, nowadays there's the internet, and so there's so many things you can watch and, like, learn and be inspired by. And maybe even make friends with, like, start following all these, like, different skateboarders and, like, become friends with them. And, I don't know, I guess the main thing I would say is you should learn how to fall, because that's going to make your whole experience, like, so much better.
So in order to make better tricks, you have to learn how to fall first. Did I understand correctly?
Yeah. I mean, whether or not you, like, learn it first, like, it's going to happen either way. And you'll save a lot of time, and, like, you're maybe even, like, save your body. Like, basically learning how to fall just creates longevity.
Yeah.
And that's how we see people, like, you know, skating in their 50s and 60s. I, like, on Instagram, I see that there's this, like, 80-year-old that learned how to drop in. And that's, like, that's insane. Like, imagine, like, I can't imagine what it's like being 80 and just deciding, like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Knowing all the, like, risks and, like, I don't know, it's just so cool to see someone, like, that driven. Like, it inspires me.
What about the physical demands of the sport? What kind of physical demands are there in order to be successful? And also, what kind of training does it take to be one of the best skateboarders in the world?
I feel like it just takes, like, drive and determination. And it's not like you need to do this to like be the best. It's really like, you know, skateboarding is very subjective. Like, who I think is the best is different from like the next person who thinks someone is the best. Like, that's the cool thing about it is like, I don't know, you can have your own opinion. And, you know, another thing that I think is really incredible is like the people that are really good at skateboarding aren't necessarily the people that are just athletically inclined. Like, it's usually the person that's like struggling that really wants it, that's going to follow through and like make it to the point where they're like at a high level.
Yeah. Kind of like make it through a wall.
Yeah. It's not about like, you know, who's closer. It's about who's like, who wants it the most. Like, growing up skating and just like seeing who I'm still skating with, like there was people that I've seen that were like really talented, but they just like, you know, it almost came too easy. Like they didn't appreciate it. And it's like the person that like can't get it is like the one who's just like, no, I want it.
Well, you've done a lot of things during your career, for example, winning the X Games and many other major competitions. Also, you're the first woman to complete a 360 loop. You've had character based on you in Tony Hawk's video games and so on. What is the thing you've accomplished you're most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of getting my own, like, my name on a skateboard. That moment, I feel like for me, was like the validating moment of like I completed my goal of like, I'm going to be a professional skateboarder. And also just like having the team around me, like the Birdhouse team is incredible. And like having Tony's support, like all that stuff means so much to me, because when I first started skating, like I never saw a future like this for myself. Like it's impossible for me to imagine like it could be like this, especially at that time. And I don't know, even through all the people that maybe were like, said things that were like lame and didn't even know that they were like being like discouraging, and just like being able to get through all that and to make it to here, it was so big.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't women with skateboard, like there wasn't women on core skateboard companies with their name on the bottom of a board. Like that's like, you know, when little kids say like, oh, I want to be a professional skateboarder, it means having your name on a skateboard and not just like, I don't know, it's one thing to make a living off skateboarding. Like nowadays you can like, you can even go around the industry, like you can become a YouTuber or like, I don't know, there's like different ways to like make it work. And that's cool that there's so many paths. But like, for me, I feel like that was like, I don't know, I wanted to do it in a way that it was like, I'm going to do it like this and I want this.
Yeah, so the so-called legacy comes from things like that, more like the successes in competitions.
Yeah.
Considering all that, where does competing in Olympics and possibly succeeding there stand in your thinking?
After this past year, honestly, it's like it's been so, I don't know, I feel like everything has just been like on the fly. Like you just never really know what's happening anymore. And even right now, there's still like controversy is like, oh, should the Olympics happen? And obviously I really want them to, because like, it's taken like quite a bit to get here. And for me, I just feel like it would mean so much to a lot of people. And I don't know, like I said, I guess I've just been like looking forward to it for like a while.
Yeah. What do you think, what kind of moment will it be for you to perform on an Olympic stage representing Finland?
I don't know, it's really hard to imagine, to be honest. Like I don't know, it's like it's kind of like I can't even fathom what it's like to just be there. Like I've had all this experience like skating contests, but never like under this context and like with like, I don't know, representing like a whole country and like, you know, having the world watch, like, that's amazing.
And also there's more than 30 sports, so there's basically every summer athlete that's somebody is also there. So it's kind of a different atmosphere, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I'm also, like, I'm not the person that's, like, big into being, like, I don't know, I'm kind of I guess I want to say like I'm kind of like a loner. Like I'd rather do stuff on my own. I don't like big groups of or crowds. But then I feel like this experience is going to be like so different from anything I could have ever imagined.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's lots of people listening to this podcast who have never watched high-level skateboarding competitions prior to Olympics. Could you share like a skateboarding for dummies and tell us a little bit what kind of things to watch for?
Yeah. So if you've never seen skateboarding and you're watching Park for the first time, like one, in my opinion, you're watching like one of the coolest forms of skateboarding because, you know, people kind of like they like will do airs and go like way out of the like out of the pool or bowl or out of the park. And there's so many different lines to do like tricks. So, you know, as a skater, you have like, what, 45 seconds to do a run, and you can start anywhere you want. And then you go from wall to wall and like go over like hips and things. And the way you put a line together and the tricks that you choose to do and where you choose to do them, some of these obstacles are like harder than others. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you can like, even if you have something like planned out and like it's been working really good, if you land in the wrong place, like after maybe like the first wall, that can change your whole run. And I don't know, like the way I skate, I, you know, if I end up going in a different direction than I had expected, it's like now I'm like in this whole different other line. And sometimes you're just making it up as you go. And I don't know, it's really cool to watch because like, as you're like thinking of these things, your body's doing them. And I don't know, like skateboarding's really fast. And, you know, the park in Tokyo is really big. So I'm not sure if you're going to be able to tell how fast people are going, but it's crazy. And like, if you were there in person, like some people like get into these like parks and they can't even climb out because it's like just so like steep or too deep for them to like to get out. It's almost like that TV show where they do all the obstacles and there's that one giant one where they have to like climb up the like vertical wall. Like we're skating those things. And also just like each trick you pick, there's different levels of technicality. And you know, sometimes if you do a giant air, that's not as technical as like a certain type of like trick on the lip. And so I don't know, obviously until you like really get into skating, you don't understand that, but I don't know. It'll be easy to see like whether or not you know anything about skateboarding of like who looks good.
Okay. So what kind of things tell the untrained eye whether the run is successful or not?
There's no way you can know that unless you're the person. And sometimes when you see people and you've like watched them skate, sometimes you can tell just because you like kind of know what to expect. And if something unexpected happens, sometimes you'll see the expression of the person skating and they'll be surprised too. But I think like maybe the best thing, and like you can pretty much guess if it's successful, is like if they made their whole run. Like that's like a big thing. Because you could do this really challenging run and if you miss the last trick, you get scored down for it, like a lot. Which, you know, obviously you want to put a full run together. But then also you want to put like something really... You want to put like a lot of technical tricks in there.
Yeah. The last one, there's two competition formats, park and street. You're competing in park. What is the difference between these two and why is park the format for you?
So I would say street, it's derived from like, you know, obstacles you would find just out in the street. Like there's handrails, there's ledges, there's stairs. And so these are all like street obstacles and it's set up very different. Like there's not too much transition. There's some banks usually, and maybe a couple little quarter pipes, but the focus is on those obstacles where a lot of the times you're like ollieing onto and like doing jumps essentially. Whereas the park terrain, it's derived from like backyard pools, and like transition is basically, you know, everything from, if this is like a wall and this is the ground, it's like that like scoop, everything in between. And, you know, that is more like gyrating momentum and then going up and like landing, and not as much impact as street, but a lot more like height. Obviously there's like big obstacles on the street. Like sometimes there's 14 stairs, which is huge, but then sometimes in park you'll see, you know, a 9 foot deep end and someone's going to do like an 8 foot air or 7 foot air. And now that they're like, you know, they're 16 feet above the ground, like that's huge.
Yeah. So what makes park the preferred version for you?
So where I grew up skating, there was just the park, my home park. It was a lot of transition and not too much street obstacles. And the people that used to go there, there was a lot of really good skateboarders that just skated, you know, the transition. And I was really inspired by that. And I would say up until the past few years, I've always kind of not understood street skateboarding. Like, not that I didn't like see it as its own thing, but I just meant like, it was so hard for me to imagine like and understand how they do the tricks as a skateboarder. And I don't know, I met my now husband and he's a street skateboarder, and just seeing his process, like I'm so much more inspired. And I guess just being around it, it's really cool. And also seeing skateboarding, like, so for me, I skate park and, you know, I'm around park skateboarding. So like, obviously seeing it is one thing. And then when I see street skateboarding in front of me at like a high level, like, I think that's when I started getting inspired.
Great. Thank you very much for visiting our show. And you've been really generous with your time. And I would also like to express that it's really nice to see you representing Finland in Tokyo in the summer. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm happy to. It's an honor. And it's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much.
Kiitos vielä Lisille vierailusta Olympiacastissa ja kovasti tsemppiä matkalla historiallisiin olympialaisiin. Olympiacast palaa ääneen jälleen viikon päästä uusin aihein. Jotta seuraava jakso ei mene ohi, niin käy tilaamassa tämä podcast sieltä, mistä podisi tykkäät kuunnella. Ja arvostamme kovasti, jos käyt myös heittämässä arvion meistä. Se tietysti auttaa meitä kehittymään ja toisaalta myös uusia kuuntelijoita löytämään luoksemme.